Hey friends, can't wait till Wednesdays to get your Modern Mama's Fix? Join us on Patreon. You can choose your tier, and when you subscribe, you'll get bonus content, early access to retreat, first peeks at new swag, plus shout outs and even real time monthly virtual hangs with us.
Visit patreon.com/ Modern Mama's Podcast to check it out and support the podcast. It truly means the world to us. We are so grateful for you and for this community.
Hi, Mama.
Welcome to the Modern Mamas Podcast. We're two modern mamas with the goal to inspire empowerment, self-love, deep physical and spiritual nourishment, holistic health, and joy, no matter your journey, gender, or perspective. I'm Laura of Radical Roots. I'm a certified CrossFit trainer, certified nutrition consultant, and mama to Evie Wilder.
And I'm Jess of Hold the Space Wellness. I'm a level one CrossFit trainer, a licensed and certified athletic trainer with a master's in kinesiology and mama to Baron Camille. Please note that while we're here to provide advice and insights, we aren't medical practitioners and always recommend that you check with a trusted provider before implementing any changes. Thanks for joining us. We're so happy you're here.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Modern Mamas Podcast. Laura here, and I am thrilled to introduce a very special guest. I've been looking forward to this episode for, I'd say, months now, actually, and I've been following Tracy for a long time, and I'm just so thrilled and honored to have her on the podcast today. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce you. Tracy Collins began her career in the birth doula field in 2000 after her second child was born. She's attended over 1,500 plus births, with families birthing in hospitals, birth centers, and home births throughout the SF Bay Area and beyond. In 2002, Tracy completed Elizabeth Davis Heart and Hands Midwifery Incentives Program. Upon completion, Tracy was the only student from that class to be selected as an apprentice midwife for Sacred Body Midwifery in San Francisco. After her apprenticeship, she worked as a midwife with Sacred Grove Midwifery alongside Asatu, I hope I pronounced that correctly, Hall. Mm-hmm. Due to her vast experience and educational background, Tracy has developed a method to help prepare the mother's body for more efficient labor through proper prenatal nutrition and more. She has combined the approach with laboring positions, techniques, and her extensive knowledge and foundation of midwifery to the birth process that doctors, nurses, and other birthing professionals asking what her secret is. Tracy comes with an extremely high level of demand, regard, experience, and longevity in the birthing field. She has worked for over two decades in many settings to empower and provide expectant families with the best support possible. In 2017, Tracy founded the National Black Doulas Association, which has quickly become the leading resource for Black birthing professionals to be found by birthing families. The NBDA has a special emphasis on educational and economic development for birthing professionals, all while standing on the birth principles of midwifery. Tracy now focuses on the growing the National Black Doulas Association and speaking engagements. We are so honored to have you join us today. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your heart and for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you, Laura, for having me.
It's such an honor. And as you all are listening to this episode, we're currently honoring Black Maternal Health Week, which is April 11th through the 17th. So I feel very, very honored. It's a gift to have you here today to share your work, share your heart and everything that you've done. And I know you've made such a profound difference in so many lives. And I also recently saw that you have a day named after you now in Oakland. So I'd love to chat more about that too. That's so cool. Do you want to shed a little light? Maybe, I mean, I'd love to hear more about your story and what brought you here. But since that is so recent, you want to share a little bit more about your history in Oakland and yeah, and your day. How cool is that?
So it actually was established in 2015. I just celebrate it every year. Okay. And it's for my other company, which is a production company. And I wrote a stage production centered around the sex trafficking epidemic in Oakland. And Oakland, the part of Oakland being the epicenter for sex trafficking for young girls. And that was the production that won my proclamation.
Wow. So powerful. Well, thank you for sharing that. And it's now, I mean, I didn't know clearly until this year, but now it's something. So I come from the Bay Area as well. I was raised in Mountain View, spent a lot of time up in San Francisco and Oakland, lived in Berkeley for a little while. So that place is very near and dear to my heart. So
it's
something that I look forward to celebrating and learning more about. So would you please, if you don't mind, share a little bit more about your story, your history, and what led you to the work that you're doing now? Both with your, you know, with Tracy Collins official.com and that your work as a writer, director, producer, but then also with the National Black Doulas Association?
Yeah, so I'll just start with the birth work first. With the birth world, it was a calling that I had to answer in my life. Oftentimes people get in that particular field because it's a passion. For me, it was more of a calling because when you're not passionate about it, it's still a part of your life's mission. And it just comes in ebbs and flows. And sometimes it's more exciting and or harder than other times. So that's the difference with a passion versus like, I need to fulfill this mission. And so I started the field in 2000 and I started out in, 20 plus years ago, but I was the only Black girl, I think, in my training and the only one of two Black doulas in the Bay Area when I started. And the other one was an elder. And so about 2 to 3 years into that, it was never my intention to stay in the doula world, actually. It was just really a stepping stone. And I transitioned to midwifery about 2 to 3 years into my doula career. And I studied apprentice and practice in the Bay Area and met all of the requirements, the certification requirements. However, because of the laws at that particular time pertaining to midwifery and being, again, one of the only Black girls, I did not want to jeopardize my, you know, me being present for my children because of a livelihood and because of, you know, birth can go either way. And sometimes there's a demise, a fetal demise, a maternal demise. And I did not want to be prosecuted. And, you know, the law doesn't look favorably upon Black and Brown people. So I made the conscious decision to come back into the doula world and really just marry the techniques and the practices and the approach of midwifery in the doula world into Western medicine. And as a result, was able to have a very successful career supporting birthing families, so much so to where babies were just being born very quickly, like within 6 hours after the birth person went into labor, once they hit active labor. And I just remember a doctor in Berkeley, she looked at me and she says, what? Because we had two births in 6 hours and they were both my clients and they both went completely natural. And she was like, I just saw you. What are you doing with these women for these babies to be born so fast and everybody's healthy? And so that was my journey. It got to the point to where the doctors were like, doctors at Stanford would only refer their clients to me, some doctors in San Francisco, doctors in Oakland and Berkeley. And that just became part of my legacy in the work of this, in this particular field in that area. And in 2017, I founded the MBDA just with one simple question. It was like, where are all the Black doulas? It was just one question that I had. So October 25th, 2017, I established it. I established that aspect of my company. And 2017, 2018, I kind of moved into retiring from working directly with birth people and just growing the visibility of Black birthing professionals to help mitigate the Black maternal death rate in this country. And I didn't talk about the production company, but
We'll get there. I definitely want to talk about that because I find that really cool as well. But I guess starting with the birth work, I think it's a perfect place to start, especially considering that it is Black Maternal Health Week. And I mean, of course, this conversation and this work shouldn't just be focused on 1 week of the year. But I am glad that there is, I guess, and I, you know, and this is me being naive, of course, and learning about it really just in the past, I'd say, 5 or so years since having my daughter and learning more about the Black maternal death rates and the immense disparities. And I just, you know, trying to learn more myself and trying to share more. And so I'm just so grateful. It's clearly you've been doing this work for a very long time. And so, you know, I'd love to dive a little bit more deeply into this topic and shed some more light for our listeners on the numbers. Are you open to sharing a little bit more about the Black maternal health and the death rates and the disparities and those numbers for us?
It's so interesting when I'm asked this question because it's a loaded question and I don't hold my tongue. I tell the truth. And please, I think that's what people are drawn to in reference to this. So Black and Brown, primarily Black people, Black birthing people are, they say 3 to 4 times more likely, but I actually like to use the, you know, 4 to 5 times more likely to die as a result of childbirth related complications. And within Western medicine is deeply entrenched in slavery and in racism. And the father of obstetrics and gynecology, Dr. Marion James Sims, he practiced his techniques on enslaved Black women. And that psychology is still passed in the terminology, in the textbook, in the whole system in Western medicine, still to this day. So that Black women don't feel pain, Black people don't feel pain, the rate of a white person, they don't respect our voices. They don't recognize our pain. Our pain isn't addressed. It's, you know, we're dismissed a lot. And it doesn't matter what your socioeconomic background is or what your status is, meaning like, you know, your celebrity status, because, you know, Beyonce has been very clear. Serena Williams has been very clear. And just the, you know, the everyday Black woman has been very clear about the experience and the treatment that they've received within the infrastructure of hospitals and Western medicine and procedures being performed on us without our permission. And it's so deep. It goes way back into slavery, but it shows up with the Tuskegee experiment. It shows up with, you know, Henrietta Lacks and her cells being taken by a doctor at Johns Hopkins University, and her cells still to this day haven't been replicated and used for vaccines and advancement of medical terminology, I mean, medical advancement. So as a result of that, everybody has benefited from the disparities in which we've had to face.
Hi friends, Laura here with a quick break to tell you a little bit about one of our absolute favorite products and companies. Our friends at Paleo Valley are on a mission to help people reclaim vibrant health, providing products that prioritize nutrient density in an industry that prioritizes everything else.
They believe that every dietary choice and every added ingredient is a powerful opportunity to love and care for ourselves.
And we couldn't agree more. I love the Organ Complex and Sea Serum for everyday holistic health support. And the beef and turkey sticks are our favorite travel essentials when we're out in the van.
And right now we are digging the Super Greens. They're organic, they're non-GMO, and they contain the actual ingredients that you can use that aren't going to cause inflammation. And right now you can get 15% off of your Paleo Valley order with the code MODERNMAMAS. Check it out.
Hard to imagine, but it's such a reality that it's important that we all do imagine it and understand and hear those words, because it's atrocious, but that's a reality. And so we're still, like you said, we're still seeing that today and in so many ways. And so you mentioned, you know, Western medicine and hospital births, and it seems as though potentially it's worse off there, which is why I imagine you've gone into this move towards the work of birth workers and doulas and midwifery. And so how do you see things shifting from Western medicine hospital births towards more of the, I guess, holistic or back to the roots and our ancestry of midwifery and doulas?
As more people are becoming educated about their options, there are more Black birthing people who are exploring home births and who are having home births or who are getting doulas to work with them in the hospital setting, should they be going into the hospitals and or home. They are becoming more educated. However, there's still a level of the population that chooses to ignore or either doesn't know, doesn't have the resources or information or the education to lend to their decision making in their family planning process. So it is a lot of us who are out here who are doing the work successfully or are helping to change the color of birthing in this country, because right now what we see, especially with the kind of company that I have with the MBDA, we see the long-standing doula companies or organizations that are out there, but they're all white. And they have no know-how or like true willingness to be able to understand our story, to be able to properly advocate for us in a way that really lends to understanding our walk in Western medicine. So it's changing slowly, but it's really due to the consistent on the ground effort that people are taking into their hands to either work with families or to get properly educated or both. And I'm so glad that we're seeing more and more home births, but it would be even better if insurance would cover midwives and doulas just as they do hospital birth, because hospitals aren't trained in normalcy. So when they see a natural birth, they don't know what to do. They're trained in intervention. They're trained to look for problems or create problems, and it's a domino effect. So it'd be nice to see insurance cover normalcy, because it's for the better outcomes and also it's less expensive.
That's a very powerful way to talk about that, and like seeing normalcy versus seeing like intervention. And I had a hospital birth with midwives, but even still, you know, I found myself constantly having to say no to a bunch of stuff versus just like getting to be really present in the experience. And so there's so much power in that, and just the empowerment of coming at it from, it seems as though a lot of the work that you're doing is really in advocating and helping families, birthing families, advocate for themselves as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I see from your site that the National Black Doulas Association connects Black birthing families with Black doulas nationwide. The overall mission at NBDA is to help fight the Black maternal mortality rate in this country and beyond through educational development and empowerment, which, as you've mentioned, is such important work. And so I'd love to just hear a little bit more specifically about the association and the work that you're doing and the impact there.
So when I started the company back in 2017, it was really just to have a database, just something really simple, clean and concise, where you can go and just Google Black doulas and our site and directory would come up. But once people got a taste of my level of experience in the field and my personality, they were like, no, we want more. So over the course of the last 2 years, we have created various trainings for people to become trained as doulas, but also implemented structures to where they can be supported in their business. So we don't leave them hanging once their training is complete. They have to move on to the next level, which is mentorship, should they seek certification through us. And just building out, and I'm really proud to say this, building out an all Black team. And that's another thing that's really important. It's like, we have to be able to put our money where our mouth is, but to see, like, not only are we in the community, or our doulas who are people who are members or training through us are Black and brown people, but it's not just isolated the trainings aren't just isolated to Black and brown people or BIPOC people, but on the inside of the company, it's like there, you'll see the same faces who look like you. And it's really about the opportunity. If we lack opportunity, and what a good leader and what is, it takes time to understand leadership and to operate in a position of leadership, because we have to surround ourselves with smart people. And that's the difference with Black people or BIPOC people, is that we don't have the same accessibility to opportunity. And I'm glad that our company is able to do that as well.
That's so powerful. And it's not just like certify them as doulas and then on your way, but with multiple levels of support there to help them.
Well, yes, with multiple levels of support, from they can become a member, they can have their information listed on our website or in our national directory, or they can just use the business aspect of it, which they can use the mentorship or the business coaching just to help them get off into a good space or in a right space, and understanding how important it is for longevity and sustainability to build a proper business infrastructure. So that's how we have this dual level of support. I think that's which has really separated us from everybody else. And we're in our fourth year, and we have quickly taken on the lead company that are actually mirroring these companies that have been around, or organizations that have been around for multiple decades.
So awesome. I love it. And then you also serve, well, I guess I'm actually curious, do you know how many doulas, you know, since the company was begun, you know, how many doulas you've certified, how many, you know, people now are out in the world supporting others? And this, I'm picturing right now in my brain, there's this ripple effect, those that you've, you know, supported, certified, and then how many families they've impacted that are then raising more empowered babies as a result, who are then turning into more, you know, it's just like,
oh my God,
it's really cool to think about.
Right. So I can't give a definitive number, but I'm sure we're near 1,000 in reference to the actual trainings within the last 2 years. And then as far as our membership body, we're over 200 nationwide.
Wow. That's amazing. And I truly believe too, in just empowering birthing people to, you know, who are then going to raise children, if they go into that experience more empowered and seen and heard, just the ripple effects from there. So, and then, yeah. So such important work. Thank you. And then you also support, on that note, parents as well. And so, cause I know that the company's, you know, helping folks to become doulas and go on supported, and then also for parents. So what offerings do you have for parents?
So we're in the process of creating more resources for our parents, but people can go into our website and create a parent account. And for that account, it just, we're developing that right now. The tech team is in the process of developing that, but to where parents can, you know, find resources that would be applicable for them in their journey, but also for parents to be able to find doulas within their geographic region, as long as they are registered with our company as a member.
Oh, that's so awesome. And you offer two different types of doula services, which I think this is something that, you know, I'm in this world, so I know a lot about it, or at least I'm learning. But most folks, I think of a doula as just someone who's there for birth. But then you also have services for postpartum doulas and full spectrum. Do you certify all across the board, those three?
We certify from fertility, from sex, fertility, birth, and postpartum, placenta encapsulation. So 5 areas.
That's incredible.
Hi, friends. Laura here. Also, shroom lover. If you've been following me for long, you know that I love myself some shrooms in the morning, and I am super excited that Four Sigmatic is now offering a really, really rad ground mushroom coffee with both lion's mane and chaga. It's totally shifted my mornings. I find that typical coffee leaves me anxiety prone, a little bit extra stressed out, and feeling like I'm spinning my wheels but not actually being productive. This coffee is very, very different. This episode is brought to you by Four Sigmatic. If you don't know, Four Sigmatic is a wellness company that is well known for its delicious mushroom coffee. So chaga is the king of mushrooms. And right now, chaga is actually my favorite because it's boosting immunity, it's making me feel good, and that in combination with lion's mane, which helps give me a brain boost, really makes for an awesome day. I'm super excited right now to let you know that we've worked out an exclusive offer with Four Sigmatic on their best-selling brand new Lion's Mane coffee. This is just for the Modern Mamas podcast listeners, because we love you. You can receive up to 39% off their best-selling Lion's Mane coffee bundles. To claim this deal, you must go to foursigmatic.com/modernmamas. This offer is not available on their regular website. Go to foursigmatic.com/modernmamas and fuel your productivity and creativity with some delicious mushroom coffee. The full discount will be applied at checkout. Enjoy. Happy shrooming.
On the note of postpartum doulas, what we didn't really do, and there might be someone listening who this is all very new, and so I want to make sure that I'm speaking to those people as well. Can you explain a little bit more about what a doula is and kind of their role and why it is such an important role during a birth?
So a doula is non-medical, and it's important because they are the ones that provide the informational, physical, and emotional support for the birthing family during their process. But they meet with them prior to going into labor. They help them develop whatever birth preferences they have. We have to get out of the word plan. We have to stop saying the word birth plan. And because what birth plan does is, oh, it's going to go just like this. And for a body that's never birthed before, if you don't mirror or match that plan during your birth process, which 9 times out of 10 you're not, then oftentimes what we see on the postpartum side is either trauma or a feeling as a failure, or, you know, postpartum blues, which could lead to postpartum depression. So to help mitigate that, or to help rectify that, we want to begin to change, or continue to change, the terminology. I always like to use the word preferences or wishes, and making sure that people understand they have to be as fluid as water when it comes to birthing their baby. And the only outcome that you really should be married to is health, the health and wellness of everybody involved. So that's what the doula does. They also can serve as a liaison, and we teach people how to advocate for themselves and helping them to understand medical terminology, you know, and policies and procedures that are being presented for them in the moment, and having to make crucial decisions in their most vulnerable time, which oftentimes can change the birth outcome. And if done right, if done effectively, if working with the medical team too, and understanding that everybody has a voice, everybody plays a role, and also everybody wants the same outcome, usually, as long as, you know, the birth person is heard and respected.
Well, I had a doula at my birth, and it's something that anyone who will listen, I'll say, please get a doula, you know, find the right one. And like the whole interview process, finding the right person, and it sounds like you are training and supporting many of the right people. So that's so incredible. And then as far as postpartum doulas go, that's one thing that's a little bit newer to me. I don't think I really knew about that even when I had my daughter. And so what is the significance there of a postpartum doula?
So the old way of looking at things was like, oh, we're going to come in and we're going to help clean your house and fix your meals and, you know, help you while, you know, watch baby while you're sleeping. And I didn't like that stance that people were taking, or that approach that people were taking. So really what a postpartum doula does, and in changing the definition of that, is they are a skilled, trained professional who is there to support recently birthed families and baby, but also to help prevent any dangers that could arise on the postpartum side. What does that mean? Looking out for signs of pulmonary embolism, looking out signs for, you know, postpartum preeclampsia, making sure that baby is feeding okay. Oftentimes postpartum doulas have lactation under their belt, lactation skills under their belt as well. And they're only there for a certain amount of time. So for 0 to 3 months. And the goal and the objective is to really effectively wean the family off of that additional support so they can move in a healthy way to take care of their baby. But also postpartum doulas understand that the postpartum period can be up to 2 years after delivery. And it doesn't stop when you know, the doctors say 6 or 8 weeks. No, we're just getting started. This is nothing. You're just learning how to feed your baby. You're not sleeping through the night. You're not, hopefully you're showering once a day, adjusting to your new normal or the new body that you, you know, recently carried this human being in. So postpartum doulas are skilled in that way. And that's what I did with the postpartum doula training, is teach them the difference. No, you're not, you can support them in areas, you know, for in domestic areas, but your job is to really look out and to support and prepare them for the overall care and helping them transition that way.
So powerful. And I think that's a conversation too, that's just not had enough, where it's like you moms birth, or, you know, birthing people birth their babies and then they are sent home, or they're already home. And then then it's kind of like, sometimes it's now what? So I think that's such a powerful, powerful role
right.
as well.
And postpartum, the fourth trimester, is the most underestimated part of delivery, I mean, of pregnancy. And I like to look at pregnancy as a minimum of a two-year process. So we have 10 months, which is 40 weeks gestation. The rest of that leading up to 2 years after delivery is postpartum period. So when people are seeing social media or seeing celebrities and they are like, oh, I'm back to my normal self, trust me, they're not. They're not. That's just what, you know, this public, you know, persona that they're putting on, and understanding the importance of giving the body time, and the body, the mind and the spirit and the baby and the family and the partner as well, time to heal, because the partner can experience postpartum depression based upon what the birth experience was too. So we don't want to negate that either.
Yes. So important. Thank you for bringing that up as well. I think oftentimes the partner's kind of just like, oh, you're, you know, don't be tougher. You didn't actually birth, but that is a very intense experience on
yeah.
Wonderful. And I know that you also we were connected because through Melissa of Birth Fit for Everyone, I know you're on the board there. So the work you're doing, it trickles out in so many ways, and I'm just so grateful for that. And I wanted to make sure to let our audience know too, that there is opportunity to donate, which I saw on the website. So your generous donations will help fund this mission. All donations go towards growing NBDA with community events, workshops, and trainings for doulas of color. Also to help provide scholarship opportunities and training for women of color seeking to become birthing professionals. The overall goal is to help fight Black maternal mortality through education, empowerment, and resources. And are there any other ways that folks might be able to get involved or support?
Those are the primary ways, but if they want information, they can definitely visit the website at blackdoulas.org for more information about what we do. And follow us on Instagram and, you know.
Yes, and we'll link to all of that in the show notes as well, so you'll be able to easily find
Awesome.
And the business and the company. But then I also wanted to save some time at the end to talk more about Tracy Collins Official and the whole other arm of your work that I just find so awesome. And you also have a podcast, right? The Healthy Black Girl Podcast. So if you could share a little bit more about how you came into that work and that other arm of your passion, or I assume maybe a calling of your life as well.
Yeah, that actually is my true love is arts and entertainment. And I understand my calling on this earth, which is to empower all women, but mostly Black women, because I am one. And so in my artistry, I speak to our stories and what we deal with. And, you know, we have a very unique walk in this country. So every story that I write and create is centered and based upon our unique journey and experience in that. And the podcast, I wanted to, with Healthy Black Girl Podcast, I think I launched it at the end of 2019, maybe the beginning of 2020. And to change the narrative about what you see in media about Black women, because it's not true. It's not what the media wants you to believe. And Healthy Black Girl is really about addressing us in all aspects of our life, from health and wellness to business to arts to sexuality, everything, and spirituality, but from a health perspective, and dealing with and discussing things that we deal with on a daily basis and trying to navigate these waters in America.
Just another means of really lifting women up and supporting.
Right. It's all this, you know, the same, but different.
Right. We're able to reach a whole nother demographic. And I'm sure there's plenty of overlap there as well, but there might be folks drawn to this work that maybe aren't birthing and have chosen, or that's not a part of their journey. So you're still able to reach them and empower them in a unique way in that capacity as well, which I think is very cool.
Yes. Thank you.
So wonderful. Well, I wanted to also give you a chance at the end here to potentially just wrap with any, you know, words you'd like to leave our listeners with, any final thoughts to share.
I think I want to leave your listeners with educate yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to do the work. You have to do your part. If you want to be a part of change, then you have to make sure you do the work yourself. You do the legwork, you know, seek out the proper resources for education and not asking Black people and women particularly to educate you. I think that's really imperative. We Black women cannot be responsible for any longer for educating white women and those people who don't look like us about the atrocities that have happened to us. We're too busy trying to heal from it and change our stories so our generations to come are better off for it. So, you know, pick up the resources and connect with people. And then also, you know, if things don't feel right that are being said around you in the workplace or in your home environment, and you recognize that, call people out, call your peers out. That's how you start changes. It's at home. It's at home. And, you know, taking that initiative yourself.
So powerful. Thank you. I think that's a really incredible place to wrap here. And just like, I hope that those words stick with those of you out here listening. I know they will with me as well. An important, consistent reminder. So thank you so much for your time, for sharing, for the work that you do all around. I'm just so honored to have had you on today and to have had this chance to get to know you better and to connect.
Thank you, Laura, for having me.
It's an honor. Well, go enjoy the rest of your afternoon. I hope that we'll chat again soon. And again, thank you.
You're welcome. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We will chat next time.
I don't know what to say.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. See you next time.
Bye.